scripture Julie read was that he said, I pray that your eyes would be open. It's like an aha moment. It's like you can't see and then all of a sudden you can see. It's like you all of a sudden you understand something that you didn't understand before. And that's what we're looking for when we assemble together, when we look into the Word individually or corporately together. We're expecting that the Holy Spirit will do something greater than any natural causes could make happen. That the Holy Spirit will bring transformation. Literally, there would be an aha moment that goes deeper than the mind, all the way into the deep depths of who you are as a person. And it would literally then transform you from the inside out, and you could begin to walk in all the promises that God has given to us as believers. Most of us are not aware of just how much God wants to give us, how much He has to offer us as children, how He wants to establish us. Literally, the Bible says that God has put in us a desire for glory and honor, that we want to be honored, we want to be glorified, we want to be exalted, but the way God designed us to enter into that is so different than what the world teaches us. The world teaches us to try to grasp it and claw and scratch and get what we can because there's something in us that says, I want to be honored, I want to step into glory. And Jesus says it so differently through the Apostle Peter. He said, submit yourselves to the elders of the church and honor godly authority, and in due season, I will exalt you at the proper time. I know there's not a lot of cheers for that because nobody likes submission. But see, God's ways are opposite of our ways. And that's what we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks in the profile of a disciple. See, our mission statement at Harvest Christian Fellowship comes from Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, making disciples who then make his way known. And so we decided in this series, we want to get very practical where everyone could walk away and say, how do I know if I'm becoming a disciple? What does it look like? Well, we've had 6 weeks of great opportunity for us to look into the Word and see what a disciple looks like in his behaviors, in her behaviors, in the outward expression of what's going on internally. And today, we're going to step into part number 7, true worshipers. John 4, verse 23 is a fabulous story, and this is stuck right in the middle of a fabulous story, true story, of Jesus and the woman at the well. And I don't have time to read all of that, but I'll paraphrase for you. A Samaritan woman was coming to the well at noonday, and Jesus decided to go to the well at noonday, which was not the time that you go to get water. She was going at that time because she was ashamed of her life. And if you know the story, Jesus prophesied to her, gave her a word of knowledge, and told her all about her life. And in this conversation, they're discussing worship. And so she tries to distract from him saying what's really going on to talk about worship. She gets religious on him. And then he answers her religious comment with what I'm about to read here in John 4:23. But after this conversation, she says, I perceive that you're a prophet. She went back to the village. She told everybody. They came out to the well, saw Jesus, perceived that he was a prophet, and many got saved. It says the whole village surrendered their life to Jesus in that day. And here's where this conversation is taking place in John 4, verse 23. Jesus says, but a time is coming, and indeed, it's here now, when, say it with me, true worshipers will worship him, the Father, in spirit and in truth. And then listen to this last sentence. It's amazing. The Father, that's God in heaven, is looking for those who will worship him in this way. Now, this is a very interesting paradigm, isn't it? God Almighty, who needs nothing from any of us, yet invites us into relationship and then invites us into something even greater called a worship experience. He's looking for people who would worship in spirit and in truth. See, I want you to understand something here, church. Disciples are obvious worshipers of God. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ today, you say, yes, I've surrendered my life to him. I'm born again. I'm born from above. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm going to heaven when I die. Then you should be, by definition from the Bible, an obvious worshiper. And this goes ahead and creates tension all by itself, because some of us are very, well, we're very prideful about our private nature. Well, I'm not like you, Pastor Brad. You're just very expressive. That's fine. I'm not asking you to be like me. I'm asking you to be like God created you to be. So if you'll examine the scriptures that I read to you today and share with you, I believe that you'll find out what your expression of worship looks like. We're not here to make clones. We're here to make disciples. And this, every one of you have a very special and unique expression of worship that the Father himself is looking for. And he is not satisfied until you come and you join in the chorus of heaven and say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I have to tell you before I go on, the reason I'm so excited about this message is because some 20-something years ago, when I was taught these truths for the first time myself, it changed my life. When I became an outward expressive worshiper, the power of God began to be released into my life, and my atmosphere around me began to change. My mind began to be renewed. My heart began to be set free, and my addictions fell off, and my passion for Jesus came alive, and I want that for every one of you. So if I get a little bit excited today, just understand what I've experienced, I want so deeply for you to experience too. See, disciples worship God with every choice we make, every relationship we have, every place we go, everything that we do. Our whole lives are lived as an act of worship to our Father in heaven. Would you pray with me? God, as excited as I am about people receiving what I've received, I know that you have something very specific and unique that goes beyond anything I can even ask for or imagine today. You have spiritual blessings. You have physical blessings. You have material and spiritual and emotional and physical and mental. You have blessings to pour out upon your people today. And I pray that no thing raised up against this would prosper today, but that your word would go forth and everyone in this room would be abundantly blessed. And literally, God, I'm asking for a transformation in our hearts that would change the atmosphere around us and bring glory to our Father God who's in heaven. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody who agreed with me said, amen. Amen. I'm just going to hit this one big idea. We have six other big, great ideas from the last 6 weeks. You can pick them up on the app or go out to the Connection Center. People can help you find access to those messages. But today, disciples are obvious worshipers of God. I mean, sometimes people say things like, I'm just a very private person. You know, I worship God in my own way, which is code language for back off and leave me alone. And I understand. Listen, I am glad that you want to worship. Don't get me wrong. I'm ecstatic that you even think about that you want to worship and that you've decided that you do it in your own way. I just want to present to you that the Bible may have some instructions for your worship. See, the Bible describes worship. Guess what? It's pretty noticeable stuff that the Bible describes as the actions of worship. Let's go back to John 4:23, where Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. But a time is coming, indeed, now it's here, when true worshipers, that word worshipers is the word in the Greek, proskuneo, and it means literally to bow down, to prostrate oneself, to do homage, to show reverence, and many, many. If you go look this up in the Strong's, you'll find many descriptive words. It even depicts like a dog that loves its master. I mean, you're excited. You want to lick and kiss and love your master. This is the word that's used. If you just kind of go, oh, God's looking for true worshipers, you don't understand what the word means, then you don't get it. This is what he's saying. True worshipers, do this. That's called prostrating yourself. Could y'all see that back there? I laid down on my face. You're like, why? What's the point? Here's the only thing I can tell you. You'll ask why until you meet him. And I'm just going to tell you, when you meet Jesus the way I have, you can't hold it in. It is uncontainable joy. It is uncontainable awesomeness. It's just like, I can't help but say, thank you, Lord. Does that mean every moment of every day is peachy and I just smile all the time? No, it's real life still, but something in you says, I met him, he is my king, he's my master, I love you, God. Let's look at some more. Well, I would say this proskuneo word of bowing, doing homage, I'd venture to say this type of action is pretty obvious. What do y'all think? You know, when someone's normally standing upright and they lay down on their face, it's pretty obvious. Now, you're not doing it for you or me or anybody else. We worship to please the one we worship. And God is so gracious in his divine wisdom, he actually gives lots of instructions on a disciple's worship, what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, and what it's going to do for you. Before this message is over, you're going to know some outward expressions of your inward reality, but you're also going to understand some powerful benefits to doing worship Jesus's instructed way. There's never a thing in the kingdom of God that the Bible or the Holy Spirit would lead you to do that will hurt you. Well, it might hurt your pride, but it's not going to hurt you. It's ultimately going to build you up. There's nothing that God would ask you to do that's going to hurt you. It's only going to build you up and bless you. I've said this many times. If there's a position of authority given, the authority is given by God to be a blessing for those under that authority. And that's what Jesus does through the authority of Scripture. He lines out things for you to receive, for you to read, to understand, to interact with, that will be ultimately a blessing to you. So let's look at a few more definition words for worship. To regard with great or extravagant respect, honor or devotion, admiration or reverence shown to God, telling or showing God he is worth more than anything else to me. The word worship is rooted in this word, a root word, worth. What is Jesus worth to you? Immeasurable. I cannot describe what he's worth to me. You're talking death or life, darkness or light. And we're wondering if we want to express that or not. Well, I just believe in reverence, Pastor. I do too, but I also believe in extravagance. Do both. I guarantee you the people who are stuck on reverence aren't stuck on extravagance most of the time. And the people who are stuck on extravagance don't understand. Why don't we get a balanced approach? Why don't we read the Word and let the Word instruct us instead of letting our fears, our preferences instruct us? Let's let the Word instruct us and wipe away our fears and just do life God's way. That sound good? Yeah, it does sound good. I promise you'll benefit when you lay down your fears, lay down your preferences and say, God, you're the one who created me. After all, I'm going to learn how to be me, the best me, by reading your word and obeying it without hesitation. Now, there's a couple of stories in the Bible that illustrate worship. One of them is in the book of Joshua. It's Joshua 5, 13 through 15. I'm not going to read it all, just paraphrase it for you. But Joshua was the one who followed Moses, and then when Moses died, Joshua became the leader of the children of Israel. Y'all remember this? And they had crossed the Jordan River, and he was out scouting the land, okay? And he runs across the Lord. And he thinks it's just some mighty warrior with a sword in his hand. And the question that Joshua asked the Lord is, well, whose side are you on? And this is how Jesus answers. I am the commander of the Lord's host. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him and said, what does the Lord want to say to his servant? When you meet Jesus, you will surrender. And if you haven't met a Jesus that causes you to surrender, you might want to ask what Jesus you met. The Bible says there's many false Christs in the world, many false representations of who Christ Jesus really is. But the God of the Bible, the Jesus who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will overwhelm you in his presence, and you'll have nothing better to do but fall on your face. Now, I understand every moment of every day is not on my nose, okay? Because you can't live your life that way. But ask yourself, who did I encounter here? Did I encounter an intellectual interaction with a Jesus? Or did I encounter the living God that the Bible describes? I know that's quite offensive to some people who've been in church all their lives and go, well, I'm not sure I had an experience like that. I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation. I'm trying to get you to get in touch with the living God. Yeah. And messages like this stirred me up to say, who do I know that I call my Lord? And maybe the reason you're not in awe of his presence anymore is because you quit obeying his voice. I said it with a smile. Because when your heart gets hard, you're not in touch with it. Jesus could stand right beside you and you could be like, twiddling my thumbs. I don't know what's going on. And Jesus is here. You know how I know this? Because I've stood in worship services where the very presence of God comes and people are on their face and worshiping extravagantly. And other people are back there with their hands in their pockets going, what in the world is going on here? Just looking at everybody. It's because you didn't realize who just entered the room. I'm asking you to open your heart today. I'm asking you to open your mind today and say, guess what, Christian? There might be something more to your experience with God than you've ever known. And I'll trust you with that response. Here's the deal, guys. A very powerful truth. When Joshua met Jesus, the moment he got a revelation of who he was, he worshiped. In the New Testament, the disciples were hanging out with Jesus. This is in Matthew 14, if you want to turn there with me. Matthew 14, verse 32. And this is what's going on in this picture. Let me find it here. Verse 32. This is when Jesus came to them walking on the water. This is how these guys responded. And when they got into the boat, remember Peter jumped out and went to Jesus, and then he started to sink, and then Jesus rescued him. It says when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat did what? Worshipped him. Truly, you are the Son of God. What happened? They got a revelation of who he was. How did they figure it out? He was walking on the water. You ever tried walking on water? You can't. Jesus could. Revelation. He is the God of the universe. Worship was a natural response to God's goodness of saving them, literally, in a storm. And guess what, guys? Worship to Jesus in that moment was obvious and observable. Let me say this, it'll be on the screens. We worship from a place of revelation. The more we see God for who He is, the more we worship. Disciples are obvious worshipers of God. In fact, listen to me, everybody in the world is worshiping because we were created to worship. The question is not whether you're a worshiper, but who do you worship? Who or what are you worshiping? Today's Sunday. Yesterday was Saturday. We're in the middle of football season. Stadiums across America yesterday from 11 a.m. Eastern time till midnight Pacific time were full of worshipers. Cheering, shouting, singing, dancing, playing music unto their gods. I didn't hear an amen. Literally, worshiping, celebrating, and praising their champions on the field. That's worship. Some of y'all's wheels are really turning right now. You're going, you're just offended. Well, I like this team or that team, and I'm not worshiping them. Well, answer me this. Are you more demonstrative about a touchdown than you are about your salvation? And I'm not mad at anybody about it. I just had to ask myself the same question. Some people are depressed for a whole week because the Dallas Cowboys can't win a game. Who cares? It's a game. My Lord, my Master wins every time. Am I helping somebody now? Glory to God. Let's just look at a few Bible references. Psalm 66, 1 through 4. Shout joyfully. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Tell the world about how glorious He is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will, say it with me, worship you. And they will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious song. I know we're Westerners and we're very reserved, but at the end of this service, I'm going to give you a chance. Our worship team is going to give you a chance to get into the chorus of heaven. Psalm 134, 1 through 2. Praise the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Right here, guys. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Disciples are obvious worshipers of God. Some of you have come to this church and you see these people in the front and they're very demonstrative about your worship. And you sit in the back and you're going, why do they do that? I understand if you have not the knowledge of what's going on, I'm giving you the knowledge now. They've encountered Jesus. Do you remember the story of the woman who came to the Pharisee's house while Jesus was sitting at the table? It's in the book of Luke. And she was a woman of the world. And she cried and washed Jesus' feet with her tears and anointed them with oil. And she worshiped. And Jesus, these Pharisees were really hacked off that this dirty person came into their house worship Jesus. And Jesus told them this great story and said, if two people owe, one owes $100, one owes $100,000, and the person who they owe it to forgives them the debt, which one appreciates the forgiveness more? And they rightly answered, the one who had the larger debt. And Jesus said, you answered rightly. This woman has been forgiven much, so she loves much. I'll never forget the day that Jesus revealed to me that I was as dirty as any sinner that ever walked the face of this earth. And when I recognized that I needed his forgiveness as bad as the pimp on the street, as bad as the drug dealer downtown, I said, Jesus, I need you and I thank you for saving me. I was a good little Baptist boy. I never did drugs. Are you hearing me? But Jesus said, your sin is as filthy as any sin that ever touched this planet. And you needed me just as bad as the worst person you can think of. And I worshiped him in that moment and said, thank you, God. Some of you might be wondering why a few of us in here look a little bit crazy. Because we recognize that we've been forgiven much. Therefore, we love much. I won't let anybody take my worship from me. You can take my life, but you can't take my worship. I will worship till the day I die, and no one's going to stop me. Just for a little more education to help us get where God really, I believe, wants us to go. There are 9 biblical expressions of worship, probably more, but I can document these clearly in Scripture. With the voice, we speak, we sing, and we shout. With the hands, we lift, we clap, we play instruments. With the body, we bow, we stand, we dance with joy in the presence of the Lord, like a calf hopping across the meadow. Like a deer that panteth for the water, so my soul longeth unto thee, O God. These are outward expressions of what's happening on the inside. Let me ask you a question. I'm not here to condemn anyone, but if you can say I'm an unexpressive worshiper, why? If you'll just ask yourself the question why, you might find out. Here's another thing I would suggest. Some of you hear this and you're real interested, but you're scared to death of what people will say. Don't do anything because I tell you to. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. And then you won't care what your neighbor thinks. You'll be as crazy as me times 10. And then we'll see what happens. Whoo! Y'all, I can't tell you how much I love Jesus. I just remember, a lot of times we think of worship like this corporate setting, and this is important. This is worship time. Through the offerings, through the prayers, through the handshakes and the hugs and the message and the music, it's all worship unto God. The way we serve the coffee and greet the guests, it's all worship. But even beyond that, Romans 12 verse 1 says that you should offer your whole body, literally your whole life, as a living sacrifice. It says this is your reasonable service of worship. You think raising your hands is tough? I promise you, if you haven't done it before, you're going to get about right here and think they're about to fall off. But mine are still on. I've been doing this for over 20 years. But that's nothing. That's nothing. Compared to a living sacrifice, my whole life, every breath I breathe, I have no other reason to be alive today than to bring glory and honor to my King, my Savior, my friend, Jesus Christ. My Father God in heaven has blessed me, and I cannot keep my mouth silent. But Sunday morning is important. But Monday morning is too. Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says that every knee will bow when Jesus returns, and every tongue will confess that he is King and Lord to the glory of God our Father in heaven. Here's what I say. We're going to do it by force at some point. Why not do it voluntarily now? And that is the invitation of Christianity. Come and join the King in his crusade of freedom. Don't oppose him and be forced into submission someday, but the Bible clearly teaches that he's coming back in irresistible power, and you get to join him now or be powerfully persuaded then. I want you to know that there are benefits to those who choose to be worshipers. Hebrews 11:6 says that God rewards those who seek him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that God will strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 to 23 says that God literally defeats the enemies of the worshipers. You got any enemies today? And I don't primarily mean people, I mean spiritual enemies that are fighting against your family, trying to take away your inheritance. Worship and watch the God of the universe take vengeance on your spiritual enemies. Vengeance is not ours. Ours is to love and bless. Ours is to embrace and worship and let God do the vengeance thing. That's a great revelation, by the way. Psalm 22, verse 3 is another great benefit. It says, our God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why when you come to church and we all begin to praise and the music begins to start, you feel something different than you do driving in your car to work tomorrow morning. Why? Because God inhabits praise. And the more people that are praising, the more the habitation will be. That's why I want everybody to be at church every Sunday. I want to see the habitation of the Lord. I want to see the visitation of the Lord. But I don't want him just to come every now and then. I want us to build a culture and a life of worship where God inhabits our very presence. Do you know the Apostle Paul who wrote some of this stuff I'm quoting today? He was so enthralled with the Lord. He was so connected to him that even when his shadow passed by sick people, they got healed. There's something greater than what we have experienced. Anybody interested? I want to tell you it starts with worship. I want to close with this today. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and verse 9 says that we are a royal and holy priesthood. Now let me stop right there. We are a royal and holy priesthood. Listen to me, guys. If you think you're just the congregation, you'll just congregate. But if you know that you're a priest unto God, you'll come and offer up holy sacrifices. You'll stop observing, you'll start participating. You'll stop watching, and you'll get in it with the rest of us. Because listen to what this passage of Scripture says. You're royal and holy, a priest unto God, chosen by God to offer spiritual sacrifices and to proclaim the excellencies of my God. Because he has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. We're not just people who have assembled. We are royal, holy priests before an amazing God, offering awesome and wonderful sacrifices to an awesome, wonderful, magnificent Savior and King named Jesus Christ. We are called to worship, to proclaim his excellencies to both the heavens and the earth. Would you stand with me?